Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
We have a special edition of Ask the CIO this week. We're going to talk with Greg Winfrey, Transportation Department's Assistant Secretary for Research and Technology. Greg, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, thank you. It's a great pleasure.
Well, let's start with some basics. The Office of the Assistant Secretary for Research and Technology, I think many people knew you one time as RITA. I know you don't use that name anymore, the Research and Innovative Technology Administration. Let's start with some basics. What's your mission? What do you guys do day in and day out?
RITA, it was the Research and Innovative Technology Administration, but in January in the omnibus funding bill, we were elevated into the office of the secretary. So we're now the office of the assistant secretary for research and technology. Our mission carries forward from the RITA mission, and it's principally to be the collaborator and the institution that brings together and breaks down the stovepipes in an organization like DOT. There are 9 different operating administrations, and each has their own funding. And each have their own research programs. So years ago, there was a recognition that to extract the maximum value from the taxpayer dollar, it made better sense to have one research program that perhaps had deliverables for multiple operating administrations as opposed to each one having their own discrete programs. So we bring together the associate administrators of research from across the department. We're aware of what they're working on. We're aware of what their scientific and innovation priorities are and where we can bring parties together and start to talk about collaboration and again, extracting maximum taxpayer dollar value. That's what we're chartered to do. So I would say that's our main mission.
And from your perspective as the Assistant Secretary, your main mission is to kind of oversee the entire 9 offices that do the research, make sure and look for those areas of okay, well, John over there is doing that. Let's make sure he talks to Mary, who's doing something very similar.
There's probably a good broad brush way to look at it, but we don't oversee. You know, we see our role as a convener. We see our role as helping facilitate the process. So it's not that there are barriers to folks participating. It's just that the operating administrations have their own missions and everyone's focused on that in a vertical fashion. We're working to help it be more horizontal.
When people hear of transportation, they think, well, how much overlap is there? Because how much, you know, transportation is transportation. Now, people sometimes forget that when they think of transportation, there's cars, there's buses, but there's also trains, and there's a whole set of different types of transportation. How much does the research overlap, or is at least complementary to each other?
It really depends on the issue. One of the things we're taking a significant look at in the department is the efficient movement of freight. So freight travels by air, it travels by ship, it travels overland in trucks, and many of the other modes that we have here at DOT are affected by the efficient movement of freight. Of course, that involves the highway system, right? So all of these different modes need to be at the table to talk about the best way and the most efficient way to move freight across the country. We recognize that trucks are the principal means of transport, but that's not to say it's necessarily the best means. So we're looking at it holistically. Should trucks travel the last mile? Should ships in our channels and waterways carry it? Should rail carry it? We've brought together experts from across really the entire freight spectrum to come consider these issues and give us recommendations.
And from each of the operating offices, do they provide grants to universities and other research institutions, or do they do a lot of the research in-house?
It's certainly a combination. Certain of our OA partners have university programs. Certainly the FAA has centers of excellence here at the Office of Research and Technology. We have a university transportation center program that's probably the broadest with respect to its ability to touch the entire department. FRA has grant programs as well as FTA, but from a overall perspective, I would say the University Transportation Center program that's managed by my office is the one that's the largest.
All right. I know we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Before we do that, let's talk about you for a second.
Yeah.
You've been within the Office of Assistant Secretary for Research and Technology, well, the new name. You've been, Assistant Secretary since January, and I guess before that you were considered the administrator of the old RITA for about 5 months before that. Just give me a little bit about your background. How did you come to transportation?
I appreciate that. One thing I would like to touch on a little earlier, you talked about the different types of transportation and how do they blend together. Transportation is thought of as a system. And I wasn't a transportation expert when I came to the department, but that was something that became clearer the more time I spent at the department, and it became quite obvious, to be perfectly honest. Each mode of transportation is dependent upon others for the efficient movement of people and goods. I came to the department in 2010 as chief counsel of RITA, and then I moved into the deputy administrator position, and then acting administrator, and then back to deputy, and then acting again, and then I was confirmed by Congress to be the administrator, and as you mentioned, a short time later, with the passage of the Omnibus Funding Act, I became the assistant secretary. So from those vantage points, I've really had the ability to see the department through a lot of different lenses, as well as this office, RITA OSTR, through many different lenses. So it's been a really great experience to help broaden my thinking again about transportation as a concept, but also has encouraged me to reach out to others and help them understand how this all fits together. It's an important national infrastructure. It's the foundational asset to our economy. And what we do here is important, and it's important we get it right.
A lot of people are going to listen to this early part of this interview and go, well, I thought this is Ask the CIO. So technology obviously is within the name of your office. You're the Assistant Secretary of Research and Technology. Just about your background a little bit. Is your background a technology background? Did you work in research and development through most of your career? Because I think one thing about when people come into the office, as you said, you're not a transportation sector person by trade. How much of a learning curve was it? Did you bring that technology background, just had to learn the transportation part, or some kind of combination?
I was one of those kids that started with a popular science subscription probably when I was 8. So I was always fascinated by technology and innovation and the forward move of science. So I kind of kept into that in my legal practice. I had always worked with organizations that had strong engineering focus. So one of my engagements was with a chemicals and plastics company, and that, of course, involves all kinds of chemical engineering, environmental engineering. Moved into the pharmaceutical industry and really got involved with a lot of the medicinal and pharmaceutical issues. Then moved into copper mining of all industries, which by definition is an industry that requires very precise engineering in the execution of extraction of minerals and raw materials. So I was always attracted to engineering-led organizations, found that my thinking aligned well with those kinds of organizations. And that's what made RITA of interest to me. I was looking at DOT from a number of different perspectives, but the RITA organization with all of its different program offices and broad mission was the kind of place that I saw, I thought I could add some value, but more importantly was the kind of place that I found very exciting because it reached across the enterprise. It wasn't solely focused on operating administration issues. So that's really what drew me toward this field. I probably should mention also I'm a patent holder. So I've been a tinkerer in my spare time, as it were. And I have a great affinity for intellectual property issues and just the development of intellectual property. So this wound up being a great place for me to contribute to the administration.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into some of your priorities. And sounds like you landed one of the most appropriate places for a popular science kid. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Greg Winfrey, the Transportation Department's Assistant Secretary for Research and Technology.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Greg Winfrey, the Transportation Department's Assistant Secretary for Research and Technology. In some ways, this is a little different Ask the CIO today. We're looking at more research and technology in the transportation field, so we're going to get into more specifics. But let me just start with a broad question. Since you've been around for about 5 months now in this role, what are your priorities? What are you hoping to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
One way to look at this organization, as I mentioned a little earlier, we're about collaboration and bringing parties together. So our priorities are aligned with the priorities of the operating administrations and the secretary. we are a support function in that regard. We do have the ability to affect certain levels of research, principally through our university transportation centers, but here we are a convener. So having said that, one of the main priorities for DOT concerns intelligent transportation systems. Earlier in the year, we had an announcement with Secretary Fox and Acting Secretary Friedman from NHTSA and myself about connected vehicle technology, and that's V2V, V2I, vehicle-to-vehicle, vehicle-to-infrastructure, and it's the ability of vehicles to communicate with one another, sending relative position messages, situational awareness, all in the name of avoiding accidents. The first 50 years here at DOT focused on how do you have occupants and vehicles survive crashes. So we saw seat belts, we saw airbags become standard equipment, and other technologies designed to protect the occupant. We see the next 50 years as being avoiding crashes altogether. So the numbers that we're very cognizant of are there are in excess of 32,000 highway fatalities on an annual basis in this country. That represents historic lows, but it's still a number that's way too high for a country as advanced as the U.S., particularly if you factor out the ripple effects of those fatalities. It's 32,000 plus families that have lost a loved one or a breadwinner, and you know, folks that aren't as contributing as efficiently as possible to our country moving forward. So there's the very human aspect. There are the very significant economic impacts, including injuries and repair and those sorts of things. So it's the kind of issue that we believe if we start to avoid accidents, those are numbers that we can get down. So that would be how the vehicle-to-vehicle technology works. It provides warnings. Let's say if there's a vehicle that's in your blind spot, or if you're trying to pass someone and there's a vehicle in the opposing lane, or if someone several cars ahead slams on the brakes, you'll get warnings that provide enough time to avoid a collision or significantly lessen the impact of a collision if it is indeed unavoidable. So we foresee that as game-changing technology that's soon to be implemented. NHTSA's announcement stated that they are working on rules to have this implemented in the American vehicle fleet. But also in 2014, there's a decision that will be coming from NHTSA regarding heavy trucks. So this has to do with trucks, buses, and all the other vehicles that are on the roadways, including the light vehicles. So the 2013 decision was light vehicles, 2014 is heavy vehicles, and in 2015, the Federal Highway Administration will be considering guidelines for infrastructure. And that's important because cars that are equipped with this technology will have the ability to receive messaging from the roadside. So you could receive a message if you're about to cross a bridge and it's 38 degrees. You might get a warning that there might be black ice. It might not be something that's apparent because if you're looking at your thermometer, it says 38, but an elevated roadway tends to freeze, as we know, before the ground. So you can receive those kinds of messages. You can receive messages about school zones, about workers in construction sites. So, again, we foresee this entire communications package is providing the next level of safety benefits on our roadways.
So two things came to mind when you described the vehicle-to-vehicle communication. The first one, of course, is the obvious Google driverless car. Mm-hmm. But more specifically, to get into the technology side a little bit, the other thing that comes to mind is IPv6. Because you've heard for years, you know, IPv6 is the next generation of networking. Everything can have an IP address. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're heading toward, is basically everything having that IP address? So the chip in your car communicates with the roadside chip that says, hey, conditions are right for black ice.
You know, this is a dedicated technology that works on 5.9 gigahertz spectrum called dedicated short-range communications. So it would be complementary to IPv6. I think that would unnecessarily complicate vehicles. Having said that, though, having been at the Consumer Electronics Show, there are a lot of smartphone manufacturers that are figuring out how to integrate their platform into vehicles. So I would say that would be the primary Internet protocol interface for vehicles going forward. It was quite astounding at how many smartphone manufacturers, as well as car companies and others, were working on that technology. So I think you'll see it in that space. But dedicated short-range communications, it's basically a walkie-talkie. where just like when you were a kid, you could send a message to mom, I'm on my way home, and she could send a message back, or you could talk to a friend around the corner or maybe up to a mile away. It's a lot more sophisticated than a walkie-talkie, so don't let me undersell it, but the technology works in basically the same fashion, but it will be sending sophisticated safety messages and sophisticated positioning and timing messages between vehicles and between the roadway. So it will be a closed system, but it's a system that relies upon that kind of technology. We're looking to assure privacy. There is no data concerning who's driving being interchanged. These are short latency, 10 times per second messages about relative positioning and timing. But again, all of this is coming together along with IPv6 to make vehicles a lot more sophisticated than they are right now, and they are quite sophisticated as we know.
So I was going to ask about the privacy issue, because I remember reading on your website when I did a little bit of research before our interview regarding the vehicle-to-vehicle communications. You guys make a clear case that says we're not collecting data. It's just a communication. So I'm glad you were able to clarify that. But I wanted to come up, you brought up the Consumer Electronics Show. Obviously, it's a big toy store for a lot of the technology folks. How does mobile play into the way you guys look at research and technology? Because with the smartphone, I think one of the things, the smartphone and tablet to a certain extent, as well as I think I heard something just recently around a requirement every car to have that backup ability to see behind them, the backup camera. That means we're all going to have screens on our cars eventually. So all that plays into that same. Does the mobility issue change kind of or add another layer of complexity to how you guys plan and do R&D?
Well, I wouldn't say that from a mobility perspective, that's our principal concern. Our principal concern remains distraction. So while these devices are being implemented into the vehicles, we have to ensure that the driver remains engaged in the primary task of piloting that vehicle safely. So NHTSA and others will be keeping an eye out for any technology introduction that would have the detrimental effects of distraction. The backup cameras are in certain vehicles now, and there's a small screen that allows you to see what's going on behind you. Again, that's a low-speed situation, and we see that as a safety improvement. So, again, all of these things are balanced out and considered on a case-by-case basis.
I guess less about the mobility and of smartphones or tablets of distraction, but more about, as you said, that there's a whole consumer space already trying to get in to tell you that there's a road work ahead or like, for instance, I know, for instance, the GPS manufacturers came out with their GPS, and all of a sudden all the smartphones had GPS, and they were almost as good or better. And then there's apps like Waze that people talk a lot about that's better than your GPS. Mm-hmm. So I guess I was just thinking more about, as you guys work with the near-field communication and the dedicated spectrum, does the mobile phone, does the mobile tablet come into play to does it make things a little easier for that communication point? Because otherwise, will I have to get another piece of hardware for my car? Does the car have to be added another piece of hardware? It's kind of that kind of thinking.
No, I appreciate that, and I'm glad you asked that question. As I mentioned, V2V and V2I are what we're looking at, but there's also what we call V2X, and V2X is vehicle to everything or infrastructure to everything. So we are working with smartphone companies that have created technologies to incorporate DSRC into cell phones. We see it as a benefit for pedestrians, for bicyclists, and other vulnerable road users. What we're testing now in Ann Arbor, or in what we experimented with through 2012 in Ann Arbor, in our connected vehicle safety pilot, utilized communications technology that was integrated into the vehicles. So the 3,000 cars that we had radio transmitters that were installed into the vehicles. We also incorporated motorcycles. So we're looking at that technology so that motorcycles that suffer from low conspicuity can be a better visual partner on the roadways. So the next step is V2X. There are companies in some of our intelligent transportation system regional partners like Europe and Asia that have started to experiment with chips that could perhaps be placed in children's backpacks as they walk to school. And again, there are smartphone companies that are looking at this technology so that your day-to-day user, the person on the street, will be connected into the connected vehicle environment. As a matter of fact, we have a test platform out in Anthem, Arizona, that's looking at V2V, V2I to help transit and emergency vehicles, but they've also worked with a couple of smartphone companies to have technology that helps the visually impaired as they, you know, try and cross the streets and use the roadways and sidewalks around that community.
All right, a lot there we just went through, and we're going to take a quick break. We come back, we'll jump into some of your other priorities. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Greg Winfrey, the Transportation Department's Assistant Secretary for Research and Technology.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also...
that bid protest on the DOD contract.
Right. But did you know...
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about...
OMB's digital strategy.
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know, because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Greg Winfrey, the Transportation Department's Assistant Secretary for Research and Technology. Now, Greg, before we break, I'd ask you that one question. What are your priorities? You talked about vehicle-to-vehicle communications. It was so fascinating. We never got to your other priorities. So let's jump into some of the other things. What else are you working on? What else is important?
Well, one of the other important aspects of our office has to do with the Bureau of Transportation Statistics. And that's one of the 13 federal statistical agencies, and that's a special designation that allows those organizations to collect data and maintain confidentiality. So the role that BTS plays is quite important because we're a data-driven organization and we need accurate information so that we can inform stakeholders and planners and others that are using this information to plot the path of the country. So their role is very important. But one of the areas we'd like to improve upon concerns data visualization, and that's using a lot of the computerized tools that are out there now to display data in a more appealing fashion. You know, the federal government agencies tend to be two-dimensional with maps and charts, and those are effective ways of demonstrating data. But to the extent we can make data come alive and really sell and tell the story, I think that really helps our ability to move the organization, meaning DOT, forward collectively. So we're very much interested in data visualization and modernity in our presentation of statistics and other data information.
Let me jump in there because I know a lot of vendors listen to this show and they hear we're very interested in. So does that mean, is there a program, a project, an acquisition, anything that's coming out that would say that OSTR is going to look for help from the private sector in this?
Our partners tend to be federal. We're working closely with Oak Ridge National Laboratories. They have some great visualization tools. We work with our UTC partners. But there is about to be put on the street an IDIQ for underlying services that support BTS. The way we work with vendors, we don't do the research on a day-to-day basis, so our contractual needs tend to be more toward IT support and others in that kind of space. So it's a lot of the function that helps keep BTS and the OST office moving forward.
All right, so something for people to maybe look out for in the future. Let's talk about some of the other priorities. Another big one that I know from doing a little bit of research is around positioning, navigation, and timing. Talk about that role. And I think of GPS when I hear of positioning, navigation, timing. Is GPS a piece of it, or is it what we're talking about, GPS, global positioning systems?
GPS is part of it. Positioning, navigation, and timing is a broader category. But as we sit here today, GPS is far and away the most reliable and the most ubiquitous of the positioning, navigation, and timing systems. It is a satellite-based system that sends signals from space in four dimensions. So it triangulates your vehicle or your personal position. And then the key is the timing aspects. It's no good to know where you are if, from a timing perspective, you don't know where you're going to be in a given period of time. So the timing signal is critical. And each GPS satellite has numerous atomic clocks on it that allows for precise synchronization. Synchronization is key because, you know, we know GPS from our day-to-day usages with our devices, but it's also a foundational infrastructure for international banking and finance. Because if you miss the transfer of monies in a given period of time, that can be billions of dollars, you know, if it's an international transaction with exchange rates, et cetera. So the synchronization and accurate timing is absolutely key. There are a lot of different industries that rely upon GPS. There is precision agriculture, which allows farmers to, down to the centimeter level, be able to apply nutrients and water their fields and harvest, et cetera. They can do it in low light and low visibility conditions that normally hampered efficient farming. So, again, you know, GPS is really tied into a lot of our ways this country operates, and folks would be quite surprised to find out how widely it's used.
Very nice. And we're almost out of time. Before I let you go, I did want to touch upon one last part of your organization. You talked about the university transportation centers. Talk about what they are, how they help, and how do they prepare, for instance, coming technologies or changes in the transportation sector.
That's a very important aspect, not just of OSTR, but the department. Another part of our mission here at OSTR is workforce development. So, you know, we also, as I mentioned, have the scientific stuff, but we're looking at a significant number of retirements and attrition in the transportation industry over the next 10 years. So it's critically important to make sure that there are those individuals who are trained in the roles that will be retiring shortly. So that's everybody from operators in the field to PhD engineers in the lead offices, urban planners, and those sorts of things. So that's what our university partners do. But from a short-term perspective, we visit with all of our OAs. They provide a list, a wish list of the kind of items that they'd like to see addressed. And universities work principally in consortia, pull together clusters of schools and say, this is how we can operate. The program is set up so that we have schools that focus on national issues. And then we have the 10 federal statistical regions. And then we have what we call our Tier 1 schools, and they're graded by different funding, but it allows for broad perspective across the country to address, again, those vexing transportation issues, either on a regional or state-by-state basis.
And from a workforce development perspective, are the people that go through the university transportation centers, are they coming for DOT per se, or they could go to any area within the transportation sector?
Our fundamental wish that students turn their attention to careers in transportation. Would it be great if they all came to DOT? Absolutely. But we work with all 50 states and of course, Puerto Rico and Guam and other U.S. territories that have transportation needs. And these students fan out across the country and really across the world. So we're creating world-class talent that can benefit the transportation industry. And we see that as the significant win.
All right. Very nice. I think we're out of time. Sounds like we could talk a little bit longer. You've been listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Greg Winfrey, the Transportation Department's Assistant Secretary for Research and Technology. Greg, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, great pleasure. Thanks for visiting with us, and come back anytime.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.